Our Realtor members are well known for taking care of their communities. That includes regularly donating blood so that it's there when a neighbor needs it. Today in the podcast, we speak with Jeremy Puckett, Blood Center Supervisor for Lee Health in Fort Myers, about the importance of blood donations to the Southwest Florida healthcare system. Along the way, he dispels some of the myths about giving blood and even walks us through the donation process from registration to cookie break. That's coming up on the Royal Podcast right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville. I'm here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. Jerry Johnson, how are you today?
Well, I was going to say I'm beautiful and sunny, but we'll just say I'm sunny.
I'll go along with that. That's fair. That's a fair assessment. You seem to be in a good mood today, as usual.
Well, you know, me and my affinity for community involvement, especially here at the association, and we are lucky to have a guest today that's directly involved with one of the big community involvement events that we have here recurring at the association, which I'm sure you're going to get into a lot more right now.
I probably will mention that. Yes. By the way, we are the podcast that talks all about real estate. It's topics that realtors care about, home sellers, home buyers. If they care about it, we do too. And we want to let you know what's going on out there in the world of real estate. It's a really exciting place these days, and lots going on. So we aim to keep you informed and in the loop. We have a wonderful guest, as Jerry alluded to. Very fortunate to get him because he is one of the busiest guys I know. And his name is Jeremy Puckett. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Jeremy is the Blood Center Supervisor for Lee Health in Cape Coral and Fort Myers. And where's your office space?
So I'm actually at Lee Memorial Hospital near downtown Fort Myers. Fortunate to be in one of the busier hospitals that we have with the trauma unit and everything going on.
It's a level one trauma center.
It is. Very busy place.
Yeah, boy. What a time to be in healthcare. Oof. Or real estate. Both very exciting. Today we want to talk to Jeremy about blood donations. RPCRA, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, regularly partners with Lee Health to sponsor blood drives, where we have the big green bus come to our parking lots, both in Cape Coral and Fort Myers, and we collect blood, not only from our realtor members, but staff members, from the public. Anyone who's willing to donate and is qualified, they are welcome. So, just a note about the next blood drive. We schedule them regularly, so I know that we have them coming up in May and August in Cape Coral. And we will be announcing that in on our social media pages, along with our member newsletter, if you are a member. And for others, just check out our Facebook page, and you will find out everything you need to know there. But first, what I need to know about is Jeremy Puckett. Jeremy, for my first question, I think of a certain band with the name Union Gap in it. Have you ever heard about Gary Puckett and the Union Gap?
I have, mainly from teachers.
You're not related?
Growing up, not related at all, not related to Kirby.
No, Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, that would have been another good one. No relation that we know of.
Okay, you're the primary Puckett in Lee County.
There you go.
Yeah, good stuff.
My wife would say different, though.
Well, you know, she's on our next show. You'll hear more about that later. Jeremy, tell me about your background. You're from this area, correct?
Right. Born and raised. I was actually born at Lee Memorial Hospital. My office is where I was born. It's kind of a funny feature. I tell people that a lot when I'm out. I do inspections of other blood centers across the country from time to time, and that's a fun story to share with them, is working where I was born. It's kind of funny.
So tell me more about how you happen to get into the blood business. Did you go to school to learn about medical stuff?
So kind of funny how it just ended up there. I've always been intrigued by biology, so started out looking at animal biology more than the human side, and during my studies up at Ohio State, kind of transitioned into a lab field.
It is the Ohio State.
Just depends on what you're talking about. You know, if it's if you're just referring to it in jest, it's just Ohio State.
Gotcha. Go Buckeyes.
Yeah, no doubt. Go Bucks. So when I was there, I ended up working in the Cancer Research Hospital in the lab. doing cell procurement and things, and just fell in love with the lab side. So moved back home here to Fort Myers and applied to a lab tech position that was available at Lee Memorial. Had no intention of it being directly related to the blood center at all, but ended up being hired into the blood center, and I was doing the separation, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, for a good 5 or 6 years, moved up from there to a lead position, and now am the supervisor of collections. So kind of just on the job training as we went.
Yeah. Boy, that the blood collection field lends itself to a lot of humor, I'm guessing. Have you heard any good remarks, quips?
We definitely are the vampires, the bloodsuckers.
Is that what you hear most often?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You're the head Dracula?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We did a t-shirt series a while back where it was themed off of mosquitoes and us being bloodsuckers. So we had an ongoing shirt that would come out from time to time with the mosquito on it. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But blood is serious business.
Yes.
And you collect it in Lee County. How long has Lee County been in the business of collecting blood?
So we actually, a few years back, celebrated our 50-year anniversary. So Lee Health, Lee Memorial at that time, founded a blood center back in 1963. Oh. Started out just doing collections on site. We actually had a couple people that were still working for us when I was there, when I first started, that would tell me stories about the times where somebody would come in needing blood in the middle of the night, and they would actually call a donor to come in. They would draw the donor in the evening and then take the unit straight upstairs and transfuse it, which is crazy to think of now.
Wow. It has to take some processing and testing involved now.
Oh, now is days before we're ready to release a unit. We're kind of unique in what we do. We're able to collect a unit today and theoretically have test results back on it tomorrow, and it could be in somebody that evening. So it's a little different than some of the other larger blood centers.
Now, what kind of training do you have to be on the collection staff?
So we hire, really just depends on what the void is that we're trying to fill. We've hired people that have just done like a coursework in phlebotomy. There's a couple places here in town that will do that for you. And we've also hired people from other blood centers that have come to us just because they're moving to the area, things like that. So it's pretty broad for what we're looking for. We just want you to have some sort of knowledge of how to draw blood. So nobody just walking in off the street's going to qualify for that.
Let's talk numbers, Jeremy. Yeah. How much blood has Lee Health collected over the past, you name the time period?
So on average, we collect about 25,000 units of whole blood a year.
What is a unit?
A unit of whole blood is 500 milliliters of whole blood. So your blood's made up of three parts: red cells, platelets, and plasma. The platelets we're not so much concerned with in our whole blood collections, because what we'll talk about in a minute is a different technology, apheresis. It takes six donors to equal what one donor can do in that regard. So we're looking at the red cells and the plasma. So every unit that we collect, we're separating into red cells and plasma. Those are both transfusible products that are used on a daily basis. So like I said, 25,000 whole blood collections a year, it's a huge number for a program like we are, a hospital-based program. When you compare that across the country, we're a large hospital-based program.
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
500 milliliters, you said, that's a half a liter.
Yeah, so right around a pint.
Americans.
Yeah.
Non-metric system rebels that we are.
It sounds like a lot. It's really not. So you have an average eight and a half pints in you at any given time, and it's not significant. We do a point of issue test where we check your hemoglobin before you donate. So we make sure that you have enough for you and whoever you're donating for. That's really what you're looking at when you're doing a blood transfusion, is that hemoglobin. That's what transports the oxygen throughout the body.
Is that what makes it red?
The oxygen's what makes it red, actually.
So inside you, it's what color?
It is blue.
Blue, just like you see in your veins.
Yeah. What you're seeing is, after it's already transported the oxygen to the tissue, the muscle, it's coming back to the heart blue. That's what we're drawing. We don't want the oxygenated blood. And once you see, whenever you're actually bleeding, it's red because it has oxygen as it's moving out.
So we are all blue-blooded Americans here, right?
That's right.
Jerry's always saying, I'm a blue blood, you know. You better respect me.
So. I'm red, white, and blue blood.
Yes, that is the way to be. How many people donate blood in an average, you tell me the period of time?
Well, so I mean, we're seeing, if we do the 25,000 whole bloods in a year, so that's 25,000 people, right? But some of those people are donating every 56 days. So it's really hard to gauge what that number is. What we really focus on are our blood drives. About 75-80% of our collections are done on those blood mobiles. So anytime that we go to a drive, we have a goal that we're trying to achieve. So if somebody sets up a blood drive, our recruiters are going to talk to you about how many units you are looking to collect, how many people you're expecting to see. So if that's 20 people, then that's what we're going to try to target for you. We're going to help you with promotional materials, things like that, so that you can get the word out.
So 20 is kind of the minimum that you'd be looking
so
for?
It honestly depends, because we have three different blood mobiles. So two of our blood mobiles are large RV-style blood mobiles, 40-some-odd foot. But then we also have a smaller blood mobile. It's around 32 foot that we can send with just two staff. So those drives, we're looking for anything over 10, usually. If we have a way that we can piggyback it with another drive that's larger, we can even kind of consider some different ways of trying to get out there for you.
So if you have an event and you're collecting a little bit short of that, maybe you get 4, 5, 6 units from that drive, that event, it's still worth it to you, right?
Yeah, every unit that comes in the door is a unit that's going to save somebody's life. So yeah, without a doubt.
So is the amount of blood required or in demand, where does that go with the supply? Is there more supply than demand these days?
Or? Never.
I didn't think
Never.
So.
Especially for us, we would not say that we were 100% self-sufficient. So we rely on blood centers across the country at times to help us out when we're short. So and a lot of it is because of type. So we may be short on OPAS today and have 50, 60, 100 units of APOS. It all really just depends on what's going on in the community.
So there's a blood marketplace out there?
There's it's a clearinghouse, I guess, for lack of a better term. So it allows people who have a surplus to get that to people that are going to need it instead of it expiring on a shelf, because it is a finite resource.
Huh. All right. So when people are asked to donate, a lot of people say, yes, that sounds like a noble thing to do. But when push comes to shove, sometimes they don't all show up or they kind of lose interest. What's the big objection that people have?
I would say probably the biggest hurdle, there's two things. Number one, it's somebody's first time. They've never done it before. They're very nervous about what the process is going to be, that it's going to hurt. I'm afraid of needles, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then also the second one is if somebody's had a reaction before. So I got done donating. I felt a little lightheaded. I didn't like that feeling. I don't want to do it again. So we're in the business of trying to bring those people back. Those repeat donors are the best donors you can have. They're going to come back to you every single time. They know what to expect. The process is a little bit faster for them as they go through that. So if you've ever had an issue donating before and you're thinking that you want to do it again, we can bring you into one of our fixed sites where it's a little bit less, I guess, contained compared to a blood mobile. People seem to do a little bit better there. If it's your first time, we'll do whatever we can to make sure that it's a fun experience for you.
I can put you in touch with a person who had that very experience. They felt a little faint-hearted or faint-headed, rather, 10 years ago when they gave blood last. Well, I'm talking about me, by the way. And so I shied away from giving blood, to be honest, for a number of years, 10 years, until I moved here, joined this organization, and you folks had a blood drive, and I went on that bus. Jerry, you were there that day.
I was there. We got you on video doing that, and it was very generous of you, and you stepped up as a part of our association, which, you know, is a big supporter of the blood drives here.
Plus, I get this really sweet gift.
Yeah. And don't forget our other, regular donator extraordinaire, who is always kind of touting how he has donated over 30 gallons of blood. Wow. One of our realtor members.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he'd want us to name his name. He's a very, humble guy. He doesn't do it for the glory by any means, but no, it's just amazing how some folks are really
good. He knows who he is.
He knows who he is.
And we certainly do, and we certainly appreciate it.
And we know he's a listener, too. What's kind of the record of the, who's your biggest donor? What kind of quantity?
Funny you ask. We actually tout that we hold, we have the donor who holds the Guinness Book of World Records for whole blood donation.
You do, in this county?
We do. So
really?
Mr. John Shepherd has been in the community for his whole life, is a great man. He And I say this because he went through the work of doing it, I guess, is really what it comes down to. You'll hear that a lot of people have more donations than him. Some of that is that phoresis technology. You can do that more often than you can do whole blood. But Mr. Shepherd took the time to get all the records together. We did a whole big thing. We had the press was there. We have the plaque.
I'm sensing we need to insert a drum roll.
I have no idea where he's at today.
Yeah.
It was 400 and something donations, I think. When we did the record, we still have the plaque Guinness gives you. They had a guy on site, all this, the craziness that you've seen. They have a plaque in the donor center. We actually have a biannual award that we do in his honor for people that are out there helping to promote blood drives, things like that. We just recently gave that to the family of Officer Jobber Millers, who has done annual blood drives ever since he was in our facility. Mm-hmm. So it's, he's just a great example from the age of 17 on.
Yeah, I saw Jim. I saw you doing some math over there. How's that translate into gallons?
I was just getting my lunch order down here.
But take your shoes off.
Did you try that? Like,
so it would be eight donations as a gallon. So 400 divided by eight, and I can't do that in my head.
50. Do the math. Yeah. Five.
Do you carry the one?
Carry the two, Jerry. All right.
50. So 50. He's over, he's well over that now. I want to say he's in like the range of 55, 58 gallons.
And you say he's still donating these days.
Every 56 days, man, he is there on the dot.
The challenge is on.
Since what year?
He was 17 when he started in the military.
Wow.
And he's not 17 anymore.
He is no longer. I will not divulge Mr. Shepherd's age by any means.
Enough to give all that blood.
Well, the community thanks you, Mr. Shepherd.
That is awesome. Yes, wow. Let us sing his praises. So we do need to take a quick break here, Jeremy. We're going to be right back after this very quick message.
Hi, I'm Laura Ramos, Director of Membership, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
I'm Bill Steinke, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Jenny Moorhead with Cornerstone Coastal Properties, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
RPCRA frequently partners with Lee Health to help our community with life-saving donations of blood. Please consider donating at one of our upcoming collection events at our Cape Coral or Fort Myers office. Keep an eye on your member weekly newsletter and our Facebook page for exact dates and locations. Your community is counting on you, and we thank you for giving.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson and our guest today, Jeremy Puckett. Jeremy is the Blood Center Supervisor for Lee Health, and he's here to tell us a little bit about what goes on at Lee Health with their blood collection efforts. And Jeremy has actually agreed to do a separate show with us where we talk exclusively about the what happens to your blood after you donate it in terms of the processing and how it's used and that sort of thing. So I will save some of those questions for later, but there are a lot of uses for blood, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of people every day that are needing some blood product. There's multiple products that we get out of it, but there's always somebody that's using.
What does the average patient require when a transfusion is needed?
So it honestly depends on what's going on. So we look at saying that the health system in general needs 800 units a week, 800 units of red cells a week, because that's the most in demand product for what we do. Uh-huh. So our goal is to be out there collecting to that need. But then there's weeks where you have two really bad car accidents and somebody goes through 90 units trying to treat them, and that 800's now out the window.
Yeah.
So it really just depends. I mean, we've had stories of people that have gone through, you know, 80, 90 units, and then there's people that are cancer patients that are coming once a week and getting one or two units.
Now, a trauma patient must be the neediest, right? Require the most blood.
You would think. It really, I guess, depends on time frame that we're looking at, because if we go through a lull, especially when we're out of season, those car wrecks start to decrease, things like that, not as many people on the road. COVID, that was, nobody's dying of car wrecks now because they're not on the road.
Right,
so
right.
it's been crazy to see. But yeah, most of the time, if you're going to go through a massive transfusion, which we have a whole protocol for a massive transfusion protocol, those you're going to see in your trauma patients or your OB hemorrhages.
I heard a statistic on the radio the other day. I'm not sure that how accurate it is. I didn't check it, but somebody said a gunshot victim, for example, requires a huge amount of blood, typically.
It really depends on where they get hit.
Right.
You know, if it's in the arm, it's probably not as big a deal. But yeah, they're going to go through it as they're trying to find and assess where what they need to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, and you could have a car wreck where somebody has a lacerated liver and they're going to go through a ton of products. So.
In other cases, you just top them off with a half a unit and they're good to go, right? Very nice. Now, speaking of COVID, which you brought up, how did that impact not only the demand, but also the supply?
So on the demand side, it decreased because obviously people aren't out and about. People aren't coming to do their cancer treatments the way that they were before, especially those first few months. The real issue that we saw was on the collection side. It wasn't necessarily that people didn't want to donate. It was that we couldn't find partners to house our blood mobiles. So people didn't want the blood mobile drawing people to their locations. So we partnered with some churches. We partnered with some organizations that we've gone through and done blood drives with a lot of the times throughout the year. Asked a couple of our mobile home communities, our retirement communities, to host a couple extra drives that they normally wouldn't do, just so that we had somewhere to be. And then we kind of used the media to drive people to those collection sites. Mm. So it was hectic to start just with the cancellations, but the community rallied. And every time that we've gone to the media, they are there to come and help us collect these units. The big thing to realize, though, the units need to be there before they're needed, right? We need that ready blood supply so that when you're in a car accident and you get rushed or flown to the hospital, those units are on the shelf ready for you. It's not then replenishing. That's an important part, but those units needed to be there for you when you needed them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to get those people into that mindset of being that regular whole blood donor. Every 56 days, I'm going to come in to make sure that I'm helping shore up that supply.
Now, even if it's not every 56 days, how often, how many repeat customers, donors do you have?
That's probably the largest part of our clientele are those repeat donors. They enjoy coming and talking to our staff. It seems odd that, you know, every 56 days I'm going to see somebody, but you really get to know each other. Yeah. My staff knows when they're going to a drive, hey, here's who I'm expecting to see. And the same as the communities, they know who's coming to do their draw. And you'll know good, bad, or different, right? If it's a good draw, you're excited to see that person. If it was a bad draw, then we have to work through that and try to get you back in and know that from time to time things happen, but we're here to make sure that you have a good experience.
So for the folks who have never donated or are kind of on the fence, they'd like to, they think it's a good idea, but they're just not convinced it's for them. Can you walk us through the process, kind of demystify things? Once you make the decision to get on the green bus and do your part, what happens?
So first thing you're going to do is what we call intake. So you're going to walk on the bus. We're going to greet you. We're going to give you what we call a donor history questionnaire. So it's a piece of paper front and back. The front will have your demographic information, name, address, things like that. Then you'll flip it over. You'll answer the questions on the back. There's 43 questions that are yes or no answers. They're strictly related to you. They're just a snapshot of your health history. That's actually our first test that we do on a unit of blood. is that health history, because there's things that you don't test for in a unit, things like malaria, things that you can't ever find. So that's why we ask you the travel questions. That's why we ask you lifestyle questions. So you'll fill out that donor history questionnaire. Once you're done, we bring you into one of our screening rooms, which is a private area for us to review that questionnaire with you. Also, we do a mini physical. We check your blood pressure, your pulse, your temperature, and then we do a finger stick to get your hemoglobin. And again, that's where we were talking about, the hemoglobin is the important part. We want to make sure that you're definitely high enough for you to be feeling well as provide a therapeutic unit to somebody that's going to need it in the hospital.
Do you test for COVID?
We don't. So COVID has not been shown, any of the coronaviruses have not been shown to be transmitted through blood. It's a respiratory issue, so it will not be present in the blood.
So if somehow someone who had COVID and did not know it donated, the blood would still be usable?
Yeah, blood is fine. We would just be more concerned for the exposure to the staff, things like that. So the big thing is, anytime you go to donate blood, we want to make sure that you're feeling well and healthy, right? So don't come out if you're feeling that you have a fever, if you've got a cough, anything like that. We're not going to want to take you anyways, because there could be any kind of virus, a flu virus, anything like that. And if you transfuse that to somebody that's immunocompromised, it's not going to be good. So we always are looking for those well and healthy donors to come out. We've had our concerns for COVID, not necessarily around the actual blood being donated, more so around making people feel safe while they're on the vehicle, and if there was a risk of an exposure, that we're cleaning the bus regularly anyways, so that we're not concerned and don't have to go through a whole hassle of tracing people down.
So what happens once you get tested and take the fill a form out?
Yeah, so once you're done with the screening process, if you pass everything, we're going to get you into the donor beds. We have these nice comfy beds on the blood mobiles.
They are
wonderful,
especially midday. Yeah. You're looking for a nap.
Zonk out for a little bit. Yeah. We'll get you in the donor bed. We collect 500 milliliters of whole blood. That's done through a bag that we purchase through a company. So the needle and everything's attached. We're going to do an arm prep where we scrub your arm with a antiseptic solution. We don't use iodine anymore. We find a lot of people have allergies, things like that. So we use a chlorhexidine.
Including me. Yeah. I found out recently. Yeah.
So we use a chlorhexidine scrub, clean the site. We let it dry for a little bit, and then we insert the needle. The blood's collected on a blood collection scale. So what it does is it actually rocks the unit, and it folds the blood together. So instead of you just taking and shaking it like a shaker cup or anything like that, you want to fold it, because it's going to have an anticoagulant in it. Because as soon as that blood's coming out of your body, it's trying to stop it from doing it, right?
It wants to clot.
Exactly. Right? And those are the important things that are in plasma, or those clotting agents that we want to not be activated, so that they're good when they go into somebody.
I heard vitamin K is good for blood clotting. Is that true?
It's a whole cascading event that goes on. So if you look at clotting, it's insane. The clotting cascade that starts. And that's really a big thing in trauma, is somebody has started a clotting cascade in their body. You can't reverse it. So you're trying to add stuff to it to get it to stop. So once your blood in your entire body decides, hey, there's a major injury, we need to start clotting, that's all of your effort then goes to that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's a lot of things that kick off that whole cascade. You think there's all these items that jump in. It sounds crazy when you really look at it. There's cool pictures out there on the internet.
I don't know if I want to see them. You mentioned COVID is not bloodborne, but there are bloodborne pathogens.
There are. So when we do that collection, we're going to collect three test tubes. Those go out to our testing facility up in Tampa, and they'll be tested for a battery of different viruses that we know are transmitted through blood. So things like HIV, hepatitis. We do syphilis. We do an antibody screen. So that's a big thing. When you think of COVID right now, everybody all of a sudden knows about antibodies. So antibodies are formed to foreign agents in your body. I kind of think of them like a Y, right? And the Y is going to attach to the virus or whatever else is out there. So they're good antibodies. COVID antibodies have been used. We've done convalescent plasma ever since the start of COVID, and that's been a great thing for people that are suffering with COVID. But at the same time, they can be a bad thing. So we do an antibody test to see if there's any odd red cell antigen antibodies that are out there. And that testing all takes about 12-hour turnaround time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the seats that they have, those lounges, I'm telling you, I've flown business class, first class, but there is no class like a seat on those buses. That is some comfort, right?
And do
there.
We have photographic proof of you doing that?
Yes, we do, Jerry.
Yes, we do.
A lot of selfies.
Sure did.
Yeah, we've actually gone on board the bus with our doing FaceTime lives and try to demystify it for folks.
Yeah.
And so yeah, there's a lot of trepidation on behalf of some people, but like me, you know, I didn't get for 10 years, but I'm back. You know, I'm doing it.
He's back.
The big question that people have is how long is it going to take, right?
Yeah.
So I would tell you to book out 45 minutes to an hour of your time. The actual donation when you're in that donor bed is less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The long part is that questionnaire, that mini physical, those things that we're going to do. And then we obviously have you hang out for a little bit. We're going to give you some cookies, some different snacks, some juice. Everybody loves cookies, right? And then that's when we get your gift. We're doing socks right now. So we kind of get out there and do some crazy stuff.
I love socks.
Yeah. We have some really cool dress socks that we've done for right now.
Except for my Don Johnson phase. I almost always wear them. So, yeah. Remember that, Jerry?
Yeah, sure.
Is there picture proof of that?
Back in the day, no. The cameras weren't invented back then. But seriously, though, how many people do you have on the staff there, Jeremy?
So we have a staff, collection staff of around 23. So like we said, we have three blood mobiles that are out every day, at least two of them. And then we also manage four fixed sites. So we have locations that you can come to in the community. We have one at Lee Memorial Hospital, one at Cape Coral Hospital. We have one out near Health Park that we actually moved outside of the hospital walls, which was a great thing to do. We're in a strip mall at Summerlin and Winkler.
So you could, if the urge hits you, you could walk into a blood center at any time.
Anytime. Walk-ins are what we do. We don't really do appointments because we don't want to have to strap somebody down with some time and then also have people coming in and me tell them, you can't donate because you're not on the schedule, right?
Right.
So yeah, we are out in the community so that you guys can show up whenever you're available.
What's the reaction you typically get from first-time donors in terms of how easy it was or difficult?
That exact reaction. I can't believe how easy this is. Why haven't I done this before? Things like that. The big one to get over is that hurdle of as a kid, I was afraid of needles. Well, then you realize maybe as an adult, it's not as big a deal as you've made it up to be the whole time.
You just don't look.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's my strategy.
We don't either. So.
Wait, what?
Rewind.
Wow.
They're that good, though. That's why I want to take that. They are that good.
No, I usually say, oh, let me know when you stick it in. It's been there for 5 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is that just that fear. Just get over that fear that first time, and you're probably going to be a repeat donor for us.
Yeah. And I swear, maybe I imagined this, but there was some kind of mental high or dopamine rush or something. Is that?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of different physiology things that go on. So especially for males, blood donation in general is a very, very healthy thing. Kind of think of it like an oil change, right? You're going to get some out and then your body's going to have to make more. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, where's the filter come into it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. But in any event, we would urge everybody listening, if you're not in Southwest Florida, then you certainly have an opportunity to donate in your town, whether you're in Vienna, Virginia, or Boardman, Oregon, you can give. We have listeners all over the country.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, not just here in Southwest Florida. In fact, we're in, I think, 17 countries have downloaded this show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a reach we have there.
Number one, USA.
Oh.
As I tell
red,
my
white, and blue.
As I tell my Brazilian wife, USA number one. That's how that goes. Hey, Jeremy, I warned you. I mean, I told you about the lightning round. Correct?
Correct.
We do a little thing around here called the lightning round. This is where we really get to know you as a person, not just a blood center supervisor. So we have a few questions that will help us peel back the layers and learn who Jeremy really is. Now, Jerry plays a big part in this, actually, and he drives out to Lehigh Acres every show day.
Still,
and he gets the questions, and we keep them in a Supra lockbox on official 3x5 index cards, the same kind the game show hosts use. We've got them. We had to order them special, but we got them. And they have the lightning round questions on them. Jerry, could you please hand over the questions?
Let me get them out of this box. This is the actual box, Jeremy. So you can see that
he's opening up the
the lockbox right now.
And then this is what
he's got the cards.
They're literal cards.
He's counting them.
Yep.
Oh, that's hard.
Plenty in there, and I hand
Watch
them
out
over
for
to
this
Mr.
guy.
Jim.
I think they're all here. Okay, yeah. There we go. And here comes the lightning round. Now we're looking for soundbite answers here. Jeremy, are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. Where would you live if not in Florida?
Canada.
Canada, any particular part? That's a big country.
Let's go Yukon Territory, eh?
Yukon. Take off, you hoser. get the Mackenzies going here.
That's right.
All right, what is your guilty pleasure? Something you don't typically reveal, except to us.
Oh, probably the biggest one would be hockey in general, but...
feel guilty when you play hockey?
There are times when it gets a little heated that I feel bad that I enjoy inflicting pain. So,
well, let the record reflect, this guy's a bruiser. He's sturdily built, and I would not play hockey with him. All right. Check that out. So now tell me about some of your favorite things, Jeremy. Your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show probably right now is Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Jerry, are you a fan?
Yeah, I've watched a few episodes. I didn't get to binge the entire thing. That's the Kevin Costner.
I have not. Right? You're recommending
that this. Is quality.
I'm going to check that out. Your favorite food, Jeremy?
Oh, geez. So right now I'm kind of...
You say all cheese? What?
Yeah, it is actually one of them.
Oh, there you go.
I'm hooked on the carnivore diet right now, so it's probably a cheeseburger without a bun is my go-to right now.
Can you have any condiments on that?
Nothing, just plain cheese and meat.
Yeah, I did the Atkins diet way back.
Very similar.
I was eating bacon all the time. It was fantastic. All right, your favorite movie?
Jeez. Let's be funny and say Mystery Alaska.
Mystery Alaska. Mm-hmm. Jerry?
Yes.
Do you know that one? I don't know that one.
I have not seen it, but I have heard of it. Yes.
It's a funny... Russell Crowe is actually in it. It's a funny hockey movie. They tried to make it a real thing. I would normally say Slapshot, but I'm trying to just go off the off the wall here.
I got you. Here's a pretty important one. What's your favorite blood type?
My type, so A positive.
A pause, as they say in the industry.
Yeah, and it goes along with his attitude.
I'm an O positive. I'm an O pause. What are you, Jerry? What's your blood type?
I can't reveal that.
When you give blood, you do find out your blood type.
Correct.
That's one benefit.
It is.
Do you get that right off the bat?
So not right off the bat, but it is part of the testing that we do. So if you call a day or two later, we'll give you your blood type and your non-fasting cholesterol.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, I got a little card from the American Red Cross up north when I donated, and it tells me my blood type, which is good. I would not have
known. We do tout the benefits of doing these blood donations, too, and we promote it. So
Good stuff. All right, changing the subject here a little bit, Jeremy. Socks with sandals, yes or no?
Negative.
All right. There's only like one person.
Negative. Who's ever,
not happening. Which celebrity would you most like to meet?
Oh, that's a good one.
A hockey player?
I was trying to think of Patrick Waugh is who I enjoyed watching growing up, which was kind of funny as a Red Wings fan to go for Patrick Waugh as an Avalanche player. But I had pads that were Patrick Waugh pads and stuff. So I have met him, but not like met conversation.
You haven't gone out for beers.
Right. So that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be very cool. Which celebrity have you been told you resemble the most?
Oh, geez. I have no idea. I'm too gorgeous to be compared, I guess, right?
Gorgeous George. There we go, the old wrestler.
Brad Pitt got nothing on him.
The old wrestler. Right. Hey, Jeremy, do you do any imitations?
I do not. That's something I need to pick up.
He did a little Canadian earlier.
We can talk about being a Canadian.
You've been to Canada, right?
I have multiple times. I actually went to school at Lake Superior State University, so it's as far north on 75 as you can go. Last exit before Canada. So I've been in Canada a lot.
Very nice. Watch out for the moose. Don't want to hit one of those guys. All right. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question, Jeremy. You get one bucket list item. What is it?
One bucket list item would be to actually play hockey with an NHL team.
Can you do that like a fantasy camp situation?
I've been on the Tampa Bay Lightning rink. We go up there and they have this thing called Rink of Dreams where you play on the rink before an actual game, but never like suited up with an actual pro team. I've played with pro players in the area, things like that, but to actually be on the rink for a pro game, it's just a different speed. It's unreal.
But you have to play competitive hockey though.
Awesome.
Now don't be modest, are you a good hockey player?
I play goalie. So my size is probably my advantage there.
Specialist.
So I definitely am not that caliber, to be upper level. I played roller hockey in college, which is, it was significant then. Roller hockey was really big. But as far as the ice side, I enjoy still getting to play now. But nowhere near what those guys are.
Yeah, goalie. That's the coolest position, right?
I think it'd be hard on the knees, though. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll get there someday, right? I haven't had a major injury, which is a good thing. Knock on wood.
Can you believe back in the old days they played without helmets?
So we recently interviewed a guy who can remember he was in his 30s when the first goalie mask came out and was required to wear one for a league and how much he hated it and stuff. So yeah, it's that blows my mind. Wow. I mean, he had 180 stitches in his head at one point from a skate. A guy fell, not intentionally at all, fell, and he went down for the save and kicked him in the top of the head.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's, I would never do that.
12 units of blood were needed that day, for sure. Hey, Jeremy, it's been fun talking with you, and we really, really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to having as many people come out and donate blood as possible.
Yeah, and again, folks, you can listen to this podcast potentially for more information, but the best place to go is going to be our social media pages at RPCRA, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, and you can check out our member weekly newsletter on Wednesday afternoons if you are a member. We urge you to get blood.
It is there for you to read.
Your community needs you, and we know you're going to step up because you care. How can people get in touch with you in particular, Jeremy?
So probably the easiest way is just to call the blood center. We have a phone line dedicated to the blood center. That we don't do appointments, but if you have any questions, if you are taking a medication and you want to know, hey, am I still eligible to donate, definitely give us a call. We'll let you know ahead of time so you don't waste your time coming out. That phone number is 239-343-2333, and we'd love to have you.
239-243-343.
There's a lot of threes.
All right, say it again.
239-343-2333.
Perfect. And you're on the World Wide Web.
Yes, so Lee Health has a web page. We have a presence there. It's not a huge presence. We don't list all of our blood drives or anything like that. We're kind of trying to put some of them out there now. We're in the process of getting some new technology that'll make that a little bit easier for people. But yes, if you go to the leehealth.org webpage and look up blood donation, it will bring up our information. It'll bring up the phone numbers for our fixed site. So if you find one that's close to you and you want to go there, give them a call, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah, so if you forget the phone number, just go to leehealth.com.
.org.
.org.
Yep, leehealth.org.
Leehealth.org. Yep. Wonderful. Hey, Jerry, I want to thank you for coming in today, too.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and thank you, Jim, for doing such a great interview.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Jerry. Yes. Hey, I want to thank Beata Jones. She is our CEO. She supports us in every way possible here at the Royal Palmcast, and everybody here who at RPCRA on the staff is just a joy to work with, so I thank them. They're all being very quiet outside the studio right now. We put up a sign that says, shh.
Yes, we do.
Jeremy's here. So don't. Don't be loud. So we appreciate their help, too, and their support. If you want to get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you want to hear about on the podcast. And if you have someone you think would be a great guest, we'd love to hear that as well. We will look forward to talking with you next time. My name is Jim Sandville. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.